Praise God. Well, all right. So in Psalm 90, go ahead and turn there if you would. Psalm 90. Give you a chance to go there. Psalm 90. Remember, this verse, or this particular psalm, is the only one that's attributed to Moses. And it is the only one that's in there, but I believe it's in there for a reason. It's for a reason. All right. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, for the fear of you, and so is your wrath. So teach us. Verse 12 is the one I want you to center in. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. Hallelujah. Teach us so that we may have a heart of wisdom. I don't know about you, but I want a heart of wisdom. A heart that knows how to apply the truth of God into my life in a practical way. Because sometimes we hear truth, and we don't always know how to apply it. So numbering our days, last week we talked about the fact that, you know, there are, if you happen to be watching or you're here and you're like, man, I'm past 70, I'm on borrowed time. All right? No, you're not. You're in God's time. And there's still an assignment for you as long as you are here. And as I said to you last week, many people God used in their, well into their 80s, beyond that 80-year mark. So this is not a limitation. It's not 80 and you're done. As we know, and I was actually sharing with Sister Margaret during our little fellowship time there, our meet and greet time, we were reminiscing about Sister Petrina. And I don't know if you remember her. She lived to be the ripe old age of 106, and her mind was sharp as a tack. And some of you from the Women's Bible Study may remember, we actually gave her a 100th birthday party when she turned 100. She lived to be 106. And she would come on Wednesday nights with a friend of hers who was in her 80s, and sometimes her daughter, and they would come. And she was just an amazing, wonderful, spirit-filled Pentecostal lady, grew up in the Assemblies of God, spirit-filled, tongue-talking lady, and she would talk just real simple. You know, what's your secret? Well, do the right thing. Pray and read the Bible. That's pretty simple. Do the right thing. She didn't make it, you know, so unattainable for any of us, right? So praise God. That was wisdom. So if you find yourself, hey, Pastor, you know, my days are numbered. Well, they are numbered, but teach us is what this Moses prayer was. Teach us to number our days. In other words, be intentional about what you're doing. So in 2023, rather than flippantly laying out a bunch of goals or encouraging you to go through a bunch of New Year's resolutions, we're taking our time a bit. And we're just finding out what God says about numbering our days. So we're going to continue on in this a bit. Now turn over there to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 over there in the New Testament. I like to always balance out what we're saying, because you can't just take one Old Testament verse and base a doctrine or your life on it. Okay, you've got to look at the whole context. What verse came before? What verse comes after? Who was the audience? Those are important things when you are looking at these things. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to look at what verse 15 says. It says, "See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. Buying back the time. Time is an interesting commodity. You know, people say, well, I got to make time for that. Well, you can't really make it. You can manage it, but you can't make it. But yet, at the same time, you know what? You might not be able to make it, but you can waste it. Right? And so it's important that we are intentional about our time. And so that's what I talked to you last week. I encourage you to go back and listen to it if you haven't already done so. And now this morning, I want to take us a little bit further. I want to give you some things that will help you, that are going to help you in redeeming the time. It's going to help you number your days. I think we might need some practical help in that. All right? And, you know, this is the time of year, so to speak, that a lot of churches will call a 21-day fast or a 30-day fast. We had some friends that pastored up in Glens Falls, New York. And I mean, they fasted as church. They call a fast for this, that, and the other thing. I mean, I felt like if somebody had a hangnail, the church was going to fast. And I love that. I'm not saying fasting is wrong, but I think sometimes we approach fasting as a way of getting God to do something. And I want us to really go in a little bit and look at fasting from a New Testament perspective. And we want to talk about fasting as one of those filters of what's going to help you number your days and redeem the time. Because when we fast, we're going to talk about a couple of principles, you know, of that are going to help you in listening. And so the first filter we're going to talk about today is listening. Listening, number one, to God. Now, I just referenced Dr. King listening to Mahalia Jackson, and it literally changed the course of his speech. And actually, I think even made it more powerful. And so when we are listening, number one, we're listening for our Heavenly Father to speak to us. Well, how can we listen better? You know, we've talked about last week, do the first 15, right? Did anyone try that this week? You did the first 15. Did it make a difference? Did it make a difference? I did the first 15. I know for me it did. I felt lighter. You know, and there was one day I missed, and because I got up late, and I missed, but I found 15 in a couple other pockets to get it done, right? And I got it done. And what's that? The first 15, for those of you that don't know, is 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of Bible reading, and 5 minutes of worship, ministering to the Lord, worship. If that means turning on your favorite Christian worship set, then that's what you do. But it's the first 15. We want to give God the first 15 of our day, right? So it's 15 minutes. See, what happens, especially this time of year, you don't hear anybody talking about the resolution now that we're 2 weeks in, do you? Am I right? Nobody's talking about the resolution. Now, if you see a friend and he's starting to lose or she's starting to lose some weight, they might say, "Well, for New Year's, you know, I've been losing weight." Well, praise God, good for you. But most people forget about the resolutions within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, nobody's talking about it anymore. Nobody's doing it anymore. Nobody's keeping anybody accountable anymore. And the gym owners are thrilled because people signed up and they're just starting to not go anymore. And they're getting the money. So the first thing we want to do in setting priorities and teaching us to number our days is we want to listen. We want to listen. Well, one of the best things that we can do to help us listen is to fast. Now, maybe your spiritual upbringing, maybe that's not something that you ever did. Or maybe it was overdone. Okay? Where it was just fasting didn't mean much of anything. You see, when we fast, we're really just learning to tune out the noise. The noise of, number one, our own body and its fleshly wants. That's what we're doing. We're learning to say no to this body and put some discipline in our body, right? It, you know, if it's just going without food and not doing anything else, that's a diet. That's not fasting. That's a diet. So we're not fasting just to go on a diet. Well, I'm going to fast to lose weight. Wrong motive. No, that's not the motive. If you need to lose weight, go on a diet. Right? We don't fast to lose weight. Now, that might be a byproduct, but we're not going to be fasting so much that we break the body down. Reverend Kenneth Hagin said this about fasting. He said he knew some ministers that would actually break their body down by fasting too much. Because a New Testament fast, you know, some people, they like to look at, they just like to look at New Testament examples and say, well, I'm going to fast for 40 days. Well, Moses fasted. And they look at different characters in the Bible that fasted. And did you know that the only person that actually fasted for 40 days was Jesus? None of us in here are Jesus. Right? And he had a mission, and there was a purpose behind that fasting. In the New Testament, we never see the Apostle Paul tell us to fast. There's no commandment telling us to fast. Now, there is fasting mentioned, and every time it's mentioned, it's in the context of discipline, and it's in the context of learning to listen for the voice of God. That's what we want to do. In fact, Acts chapter 13, let's go there if you would. We're going to see in the book of Acts, again, a New Testament reference to fasting. All right, Acts 13. Now, in the church that was Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. That's verse 1. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. I want you to see that the primary purpose of fasting should be not to get God to do something, but to listen for what God might be saying. To listen for what God might be saying. So when the old time Pentecostals would say, "I'm turning over plates." You ever heard that term? Right? It is so that they would take that time and devote it to prayer. There's a story about Smith Wigglesworth, and if you've never heard of him, he was a famous Pentecostal minister in England, actually at the early 1900s going into the 1940s. Just an amazing testimony. His wife got saved before he did. He was a heathen. He was a rough around the edges. He was a plumber by trade, and he was rough. But God used him in Wales and in that part of England very much to preach the gospel, to get people filled with the Holy Spirit. Signs, wonders, miracles followed him. He was, I guess, what would have been the early workings of maybe the Assemblies of God in England, the Pentecostal groups that were in England at the turn of the century of the 1900s. And at one time, God began to deal with him and said, "I want you to fast, and you're going to go raise up Lazarus." Now, Lazarus was a man that was a coal miner who had come down with tuberculosis and was terribly sick. He was skin and bones, and he was really not doing well. In fact, they were having a death watch on Lazarus. And so Smith Wigglesworth, God sent him down to Wales to go raise up Lazarus because he heard the Lord speak to him and said, now I want you to fast. I want you to fast. And I want you to go raise up Lazarus. So he went down he fasted a day. And the Lord spoke to him, told him 2 days. Just do it 2 days. It wasn't a 40-day fast. It wasn't a 10-day fast. It wasn't a 7-day fast. It was a specific number that the Lord spoke to him and said, do it for 2 days. So after the first day, he felt like the Lord said, now go and knock on the door. So he knocked on the door. The family member, they weren't very thrilled. They were like, no, he's going to probably die. Here he is. You see him yourself. And he went and saw him. And the Lord didn't tell him to pray for him. Just go see him. So he went and saw him. And then he went back and fasted and got 6 or 7 more people with him to pray with him during the fast. During the time that he was going without food, what was he doing with his time? He was praying. During the time that he would have been eating, he was praying. You see, that's a practical way of fasting. During the time that you would either prepare a meal or eat a meal, that would be the time that you would use that to seek God. Now, it's important that we know some of these things, because if we're going to number our days and God's going to lead us into a fast, he's going to lead us into a fast that'll be pretty specific. You say, well, Pastor, I've never fasted before. Well, if you've never fasted before, don't immediately say, I'm going to fast a week. Okay? Start small, and if you don't have a number, and if the Lord didn't give you a number, that's okay. Start small. Say, well, you know what? Lord, I'm just, a couple days this week, I'm gonna make it like 2 days this week. I'm just going to go without a meal. And during that time that I normally would be preparing food or eating food, I'm going to just spend it with you. That's the kind of fast that is a relational fast with our Heavenly Father. It's not the kind that is legalistic, that makes you feel like, oh my goodness, that's so weird. No, what you're doing is you're just reallocating a time block. Now, those of you that are great time managers, that's easy for you to do. You just go, okay, this block of time I normally do that. Well, I'm going to do this. That's what I'm going to do. Right? All you're doing is switching a time block and just saying, I choose God. I choose to commune with my Heavenly Father. It's special time. It's in addition to, I might add, then your first 15. Okay? This is something special. Because what are you doing? Well, you're disciplining your body. How many of you in here ever were around during the CB radio days? Anybody? Anybody have a CB radio? I had one. I was 8 years old. I had a CB radio. They had a little button on the CB radio. And they called it the squelch button. Because as soon as you went on, CB radio was so crowded back in the 70s and 80s that there was so much radio traffic with truckers, if you lived near a highway, that you would just hear, right? And that's what you would hear. Breaker 19 was the code that you wanted to say something on the radio. I want to say something. Breaker 19. I want to say something. And then you would say, I'm looking for, I'm calling out somebody by their handle. And everybody had a handle. My handle was Hungry Dog. I don't know why. I chose it and I was 8. I just thought it was cool. You know, my dad was Little Chief. My mom, Green-Eyed Lady. My mom doesn't have green eyes. Had something to do with jealousy or something. If she's watching, she's probably laughing. But the squelch button, what you use the squelch button for is the strong signals that were near you. You could tune out all of the... Right, Adam? And all you would hear were the radios that were nearby. And you would hear them crystal clear. when you use the squelch button. I want to tell you that fasting takes the noise out of your life. It is the squelch button. It takes the noise. It takes the worry, the anxiety, the fear. How many of you here, you would say, I felt fear this week. Anybody felt fear? Anxiety? If you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to. But you know what? All of us have had probably prime opportunities to worry, to be in fear, to have anxiety. Every one of us in here have had opportunities to do that. When you can squelch some of that out and just hear your Heavenly Father, that's how these disciples in Acts chapter 13 heard the Holy Ghost. What did they do? They went without food because that's a self-discipline thing. You see, your body has a voice, and if you don't believe me, you've heard me say this. You just decide you're going to fast. And all of a sudden, your body says, I want that chocolate cake that's in the freezer that my wife made for me in December that still tastes good. Your body has a voice. Your body tries to tell you what to do. That's why so much of what's going on in our culture right now, we've got a culture that's listening to their body voice, not listening to the Holy Ghost, and not listening to the voice, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, even Christians. And so what do we have to do? We have to turn the squelch button down. Get the noise out of your life, even if it's for a meal. Now, you've heard me say that I think technology is wonderful, but I also think it's a burden. And this technology will be distracting. It will beep at you. It will rattle you. You'll get notifications. I love the fact that now every single app will send you notifications. Yeah. And you can, thank God, you can actually turn them off. And it's great when you're setting up, you know, a device that will say, do you want notification? I'm like, no, I don't need any more notifications. My email box gets full every single day. And if I don't clean it out every single day, it will start screaming at me with, you know, hundreds of emails that haven't been looked at. So what do you have to do? You have to turn it off. Now, for some, fasting a meal is not going to be the problem. Fasting news might be. Fasting TV might be. Those of you that binge watch. Fasting Netflix might be. Listen, most of the stuff on Netflix, is it really worth watching? I'm just being honest. Is it? Some of it's entertainment. And some of it, it's not evil, right? But some of it's just like, really? And the way they designed it, they know your flesh. Right? Because if you know what I'm talking about, it rolls into the next episode. It doesn't even have a commercial break. Come on. That's one. My wife and I, we started watching Downton Abbey when Sarah went away to school. That was our first kid out of the nest. And so we started watching now. We found ourselves staying up to 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning watching Downton Abbey. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And we did the entire, binge-watched the entire series. Like, I mean, it's like, are we going to watch another one? Are we going to watch, keeping our eyes open, we're going to watch another one? You know, listen, these companies know your flesh. That's why, if you click on something, they all say, oh, you know, I was thinking about, you know, maybe trading my car in. How many ads are you going to get on new cars? Right? They know your flesh. And they're using your flesh and my flesh to continue to keep you. They want your attention. God wants your attention a whole lot more, but He's not going to force you and He's not going to trick you. So it's our choice. It's our choice. I do recommend a great little book if you've never seen it before. It's by Kenneth Hagin, Common Sense Guide to Fasting. A Common Sense Guide to Fasting. If you are interested in this, I will order some and get them here for us. If you are interested in this for 2023, it's a great little book. It won't take you long to read it. It takes you through the scriptures. It's a common sense guide to fasting. Because we have to fast for a purpose, and it's a voluntary fast. It's not a called fast. It's not a, oh, God's mandating the fast. And by the way, we don't fast for revival. We don't fast to get God to do something. We fast for us to hear better so that we bring revival where we go. We bring the presence of God where we go. And like Smith Wigglesworth, who, as he fasted, got some people to pray. He thought, I forgot, didn't you? He got them together. They were praying. He fasted the second day. He went back to the house. And the Lord spoke to him and said, don't lay hands on him. Don't pray for him. Just stand around his bed, hold hands, and speak the name of Jesus. So they stood around the bed, his friends and him, and they just spoke the name of Jesus, kept speaking the name of Jesus. Next thing they know, Lazarus raised up in bed, and he said, I have sin in my life, and I need to repent. And he repented of unforgiveness. And then he got himself dressed. First time in months. Walked downstairs. Totally, completely healed of tuberculosis. Now, a simple fast of God saying to one man, a plumber, fast for 2 days. And go raise up Lazarus. Changed a man's life. What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you? It could be that He just wants you to miss a meal. Start out small. Because you need an answer for your family. Or you need an answer for your work. Or you need an answer for a situation that you're in. And you need some help. You need some help. Aren't you glad that He sent us a helper? Right? But if you have all this going on, and you're binge-watching Downton Abbey till 2 in the morning. Listen, when you're overtired, you can't hear well either. You can't hear well either. When you don't get enough sleep, you can't hear well. When you're not rested, you can't hear well. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you could do is go take a nap. Rest your body. Your family will thank you. All right. So look at what verse 13 says. And they ministered to the Lord. So how do I listen better, Pastor? This filter of numbering my days, how do I listen better? Well, if you're numbering your days and you choose to listen, then minister to the Lord. Well, if you're saying, Pastor, I don't know how to minister to the Lord. Well, when you minister to the Lord, it's real easy. Just begin to talk to God about who He is. Begin to tell Him about Him. Begin to tell Him how much you thank Him, how much you love Him, how much you just worship Him, adore Him. So here's some tips that'll help you. Fasting is not an attempt to get God to do something, to answer a prayer, to heal or deliver somebody. It's for you to hear so that you can be clear. Maybe God will tell you to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Fasting's not just not eating, number two. That's called a diet. We've already said that. Number three, fasting is for the believer to get ourselves in a place to really receive from God. Turn the squelch on so that you can actually hear clearly what God is saying. Be still and know that I am God. When we're in that place of stillness, God can speak to us clearly. Fasting is a time set apart, number four, where we choose spiritual food instead of natural food. In other words, we're tuning in to listen and spend time with our Father. It's a consecration, which is just a fancy word for setting a priority to give time for your spirit to connect with God. Number five, fasting is never to be a badge of honor or proof that you're spiritual. A number. I fasted 7 days. I fasted 21 days. 10 days. There's nothing magical or scriptural about adding a number to the day of your fast. In fact, we see as the Lord leads in fasting. And as He leads, it's for the purpose that you would hear. So if you have a prayer need, a prayer request, something you're asking God about, take that and make that the purpose of your fast. Okay, Lord, I have this problem here. I'm going to fast so that I can hear what to do about it. Are you guys with me? I know that this might kind of run maybe a little bit different than what you were raised on. Again, I want to tell you that from the New Testament perspective, and I've searched it, there's not any mandates on times and days of fasting. It is a fast that is of the Lord, that is in your relationship with God. I can't tell Brother Adam, well, you need to fast for 5 days. That's not my job. The Holy Ghost on the inside will lead him to fast, if that's what it is. It'll be a fast. And if you've never fasted for longer than a meal, then you need to start small and just give time to God. God's voice will be clear to you when you fast and spend that time reading His Word. He's going to speak in accordance with your Word. See, once we number our days and we listen, then we can set priorities that truly matter. You know, that truly matter. You know, I think about tomorrow is a day that the nation does reflect on Martin Luther King and his work. You know, I think about people in my life that have lived an exemplary life of love. And I'm reminded what Ephesians tells us in Ephesians 5, right before it says redeem the time. The beginning verse 1, go there if you would, please. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it tells us something that we ought to be doing. And if you're setting your priorities for 2023, you say, Pastor, I already set them. Good for you. I'm glad you did. You know, no, I mean that. I mean, I'm glad you did. But put it in context with putting God first. And notice what Ephesians 5 tells us. Ephesians 5 tells us to be imitators of God, verse 1, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. Walk in love, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walk in love. Love for others. Forgiveness. Not hanging on to a grudge. You should walk into 2023 free from that. Free from that. And if you're having trouble and your body's screaming at you, that you want vengeance, and you want this, and you want that. Hang on a second. Turn the squelch button. Because the only way that you are going to be able to truly get through some of those things is to turn the other voices off or down. If it means shutting your device off, putting it in a drawer, I know you need your device sometimes for work. You need your device for what you do for a living. It's become that way in our society. You know, there was a time when it wasn't that way. But that time is not now. There was a time when it was that way. But you can put limits on what you do. You can take a break from social media if you need to. Social media is just another one of those noises. It's just another one of those noises. More notifications, you know, more, you know, you've heard me call Facebook fake book. Because everybody puts their best foot forward. It's like everybody puts, you know, the best picture. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody wants to look their best, right? Oh, wait, I got to delete that shot. I got to put a different selfie in, you know? That one doesn't look good. My hair's not right. You know? So we're always putting our best foot forward, and it's not always real. And just because you read it on the internet does not mean it's real. And just because you read it on Reddit doesn't mean it's real. And just because you saw it on TikTok doesn't mean it's real. So that noise, that as God leads you in 2023, turn it down. Turn it off. Spend the time with your Heavenly Father. I believe God wanted me to share this with the church. And I'll tell you why. As pastor, our church has now come through 20 years of being in existence, of God doing His work here. But I believe there is more yet to come. And I believe there are things that God is asking our church to do. Our church to do. And I want us to have an understanding of fasting. Because I don't want us to plunge into 2023, plunge into something that isn't going to be a blessing to the whole body and bring a lift to us all. And so I'm encouraging you, not corporately, I've not called a corporate fast, but I'm encouraging you as individual believers, as part of this church family, that you would look to God in your own personal lives to turn the squelch button down. And then corporately, that when you're praying for this church, that you would pray through the things that, if you've been here for pre-service prayer, we're praying that God would send new families, new faces, new friends, that we would have favor in this community, that there would be a facility in our future, and that we would have the finances to operate that facility, to get that facility, so that we can do the mission God's called us to do in this community. And in order to do that, we need to have people praying along those lines, praying that God would send people in, that God would send families, that He would send youth, that He would send 20-somethings, that He would send senior citizens that don't have a church home. I'm telling you, God wants us to be a light for the whole family. We are Westchester Family Church. And I'll never forget when I first got acquainted with the Jacksons. Reverend Ennis said something to me that impacted me. He said, "I'm not looking for a position. I'm looking for a family." People, there are more people out there that are looking for a family. They're looking for a family like this. And if you love what you see here, help us tell more. Seek God and say, "What's my part?" Help us tell more. Help us tell more and put us and pray for us that we would do what is necessary to reach our community. This church is very unique. It's very unique. I've seen a lot of churches, been a part of big churches, been on staff at big churches. This church is very, very unique. It's unique culturally. It's unique in the fact that how many Spirit-filled churches are thriving in Westchester County? I believe we could be one that does. It wasn't my idea that this church be. It was God's idea. And unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. I know we're not laboring in vain. And if you've been ministered to by this church, then you have a part to play with us. For however long God has you with us, ask God in your time of turning the squelch button down, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you want me to pray for my church? And let's see God take us to places and adventures in 2023 that we only dreamed were possible. Because God, with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. So we're listening. Setting, numbering our days and listening. That's what we're doing right now. We're listening. That's it. Listening. And we're going to get better at listening because the Lord tells us, my sheep hear my voice and they don't follow the voice of another. So we're God's kids, right? We know what he says. Hey, son, daughter, we know. But we're going to even hear better because we're going to turn that squelch button down as the Lord leads, and we're going to do what he tells us to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it has the power to change us. God, help us to act on this word, to listen, to learn to listen, to listen to your Holy Spirit speaking to us, telling us when to draw close, when to draw near. And Father, I thank you that there is an open heaven. There is an open place in you to seek you, to experience more of you. Father, thank you for the people that call this their church home. God, that you would minister great grace to them. Father, that they would hear from heaven. And Father, in the situations that they are dealing with in their lives, with finances, with business, with jobs, with relationships, with schooling. Father, that your voice would be ever so clear as they take steps of faith to act on this word, and that you would make your grace manifest to them in a powerful way in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. It's simple. To be born again is not church membership. It's not confirmation. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's real simple. The Bible tells us we must be born again. Romans 10, 9 and 10 puts it this way. If we believe in our heart, in the Lord Jesus, that he was the Son of God, and that we confess him with our mouth as our Lord and Savior, will be saved. There's an experience with God. He's waiting for you to spend time with him, to tune out the noise, to spend time with him. If that's you and you want to know Jesus, you can lift up your hand in this place, or you want to recommit your life to God, lift up your hand in this place. If you're watching online, just pray this simple prayer with us out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask God that you would forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for my sins. And I receive his forgiveness. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if it was an act of rededication, you want to know about it. We want you to tell somebody before you leave this building. We want you to let somebody know. If you're watching on Facebook, message us. Let us know so we can help you in your walk with Christ. If you are interested in getting a copy of this book, Common Sense Guide to Fasting, please let us know. We want to be able to order those and get those and make those available to you as we start this new year out. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand our feet as we have our closing verse. Hallelujah. Let's say this out loud. Say it loud for all to hear. All right. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night online.